I'm waiting for you.
Oh, I thought it was yours.
It's yours.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did it last week. I thought I did it last week.
It's okay. You can do it again.
Oh, I thought you were like going into character. Okay. All right. Hold on.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who just discovered they have points on their credit card.
Indeed.
I was very excited. I'm Bethany.
I'm Kathleen.
And welcome to the friendship. You're now our friend too, and we're happy that you're here. Kathleen, I discovered that I thought you only get, I mean, I knew I had miles. I just didn't know I had miles.
Yeah.
And I looked and I have miles. And that's a relief because I have to travel next week and I wasn't ready to afford that.
One of life's greatest gifts. Our credit card miles.
Oh, they're great. I know. Surprising.
So you had this credit card and you didn't realize that you had like, what do you have? Like 600,000 miles on it?
Yeah, because it you get bonus miles and miles for everything you buy, right? And I've had this credit card for years and years.
If this is something that you think you have on your credit card, gentle listener, go ahead and check.
Check it out. Yeah. You might have them.
Because you might have a spring break fling already paid for.
Yeah, and they cover hotel. Mine was Capital One, and this isn't an ad, but like I have their venture card, and it like covers hotels, and it covers planes, and it, you know.
Jennifer Gardner loves it, too.
Yeah, she told me there's no blackout dates, and I believed her.
Jennifer Gardner's father loves it, too.
He does. Who's her dad?
It's just some random guy, and she always talks about how her dad loves the card, too.
So this week we're going to be talking about some relationship advice. Mm-hmm. I recently found some on Twitter, the good kind of relationship advice, not like the toxic, awful kind. And Twitter is exhausting recently, I found, but I found one good thing.
Twitter has so many opinions.
Woof. So we're going to talk about some relationship advice. And Kathleen, what did you bring to class today?
Today is National Forgive Mom and Dad Day.
Yay.
And Lord knows I got a list.
Of things you forgive them for?
Of things I'm forgiving them for publicly today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I have a list too, so we'll go through that.
And we have a little bit of science corner.
Okay, good. We're going to learn some science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Bethany, what's on your mind right now?
I did something super bratty over the weekend, and I did it because I now have a boyfriend who I get to pick on.
Well, that's
all
your
the time.
Job as a girlfriend.
Yeah, right. I like to keep things fun and entertaining. And so he was washing dishes after dinner, and he also made dinner.
The horror.
I know. And I said, hey, you know, I can absolutely wash these. Like, I have a dishwasher. Let me wash these dishes.
You have a boyfriend that makes you dinner.
I mean, he's so kind and so sweet. And he wouldn't let me wash dishes. He was like, I just want you to be able to relax. And so instead of being lovely and thankful, I went behind him and I like leaned up against his back like I was spooning him, you know, and like
tricking him.
Put my arms around his waist.
You tricked him into thinking you're pressing up against him sexually.
Uh-huh. And then I slid both of my hands into his back jeans pockets.
Uh-huh.
And then I coughed. And at the same time that I coughed, I slipped his wallet out of his jeans and I stole it.
Have you been watching Aladdin?
I have. And it's very important if you're going to do a pickpocket, you have to create a diversion either with yourself or someone else. And it's helpful if it's someone else who's like in a different direction than you, so their attention doesn't turn to you. This was a risky move, me coughing while standing behind him because he could have like turned.
It's sensory confusion.
Yeah. So I slipped his wallet out of his pants. He didn't notice. I went into the living room and I took everything out of his wallet and started making a house of cards with it. And and Loki was sitting there watching me and he didn't notice. And then 5 minutes later, he finishes washing dishes. He's wiping his hands on a dish towel. He comes out and he sees me on the floor. All of his credit cards are splayed out, his driver's licenses, business cards. I'm playing with them and he pats his back pocket and he's like, what the fuck?
Hello.
He stole my wallet.
Hello, red flag.
I know. It's a total red flag that I'm psychotic.
You're psychotic.
And if this relationship ever ends, which I'm surprised it hasn't already, he has no one to blame but himself because I straight up stole his wallet while he was standing being hugged by me and he still hasn't broken up with me.
Did you discover anything good? Fake
no.
names?
No fake names.
Pictures of other families?
No other lady, no other man. No, nothing that I didn't already know about. I was actually really, I was pleasantly, I wasn't pleasantly surprised, but I had been a little nervous.
No,
as I dug through.
Membership card to the foot fetish den down the street.
No, Fetish Den USA.
Disappointing.
I know.
If I had discovered someone else's, another woman's photo in my boyfriend's wallet,
yeah,
I would have taken a picture with my phone and sent that ish right into Google Images.
Oh, for sure.
To match that crap up.
Totally.
I mean, I've done that before when you're stalking people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was on Bumble, I matched with a guy and you found him immediately.
Yeah, you have to take a screenshot of the photo, send it to your computer, then plug it into Google Images.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to do that, you just click on Google. There's a little like camera picture.
Yeah.
And you can upload a picture and it matches the picture.
And it's brings up all these other photos that might potentially also be the same photo, because like the pixel algorithm is similar.
Yeah, and you found him. His name was Ryan, and he like had a public Facebook page where like, Ryan, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You mean he was a dolphin trainer?
He was a dolphin trainer.
It didn't work out between you two.
No.
I'm sorry for calling you psycho, because I am also psycho.
What did you do this weekend that was psycho? Or are you just psycho in general?
Oh, I'm just psycho in general.
Oh, okay.
I used to read my husband's email before we got married, and then after we got married, I was like, this is boring. We're married.
Did he know you were reading his
email?
Oh, okay.
It was like a thing.
Like a sexual thing?
No, it was a...
Do me while I read your emails.
Yeah, point of contention.
He didn't like that you read his emails.
No, of course not. Who would like that?
Well, why'd you do it?
I mean, I would just be upset because I thought you were going to steal my coupon codes or something.
No. What was the worst thing you ever found in his emails?
I can't get into that right now.
I want to know. Is it another woman?
Okay, I'll tell you.
Tell me.
He got invited to a wedding from a college roommate, and the college roommate was like, hey, I don't know if we're going to have enough spots for you to take Kathleen to this wedding. And he was like, okay, cool. Yeah, no problem.
No, fight for you.
And we were living together at that point. But I mean, we were also very young. And I think that he didn't realize how it hurt my feelings would be if he went to. I mean, so obviously that would never happen now.
Yeah.
But when you're 23 and 25, things are a little bit different.
You may have dodged a bullet because weddings can be super boring.
Well, I went to that wedding. I had a good time.
Oh. How did you end up going?
I guess somebody said no. I was like on the B. Someone on the A list said no. And then I was on the B list.
Okay.
So I got in.
Okay. I think I'm currently on the B list for two different weddings.
Oh, really?
No, I think I'm on the C list for one wedding and a B list for the other.
Well, listen, I hope you don't have to go to any of them.
Thank you. Me too.
You're welcome. Oh my God.
Okay, so Kathleen, what's on your mind before we get into everything?
Oh, I just want to tell you how grateful I am.
You're welcome.
Not for you, biatch.
Oh, okay.
For the Starbucks turkey bacon egg white sandwich.
Oh, God.
It's really good. I know you don't eat turkey bacon.
No, I've had it before, though. It is really good.
It's like, it's my savior. So my office is above a Starbucks.
Yes.
And if I haven't packed food that day, man, nothing in the world tastes better than that. The egg whites and the turkey bacon.
Is there a little cheese on that?
There's a little white cheddar.
Oh.
And there's like a hot English muffin. Oh, man, just hits the spot.
Sometimes you just want hot food, you know? You could get a croissant. You could get a maple scone. But sometimes you just want hot food.
Yeah, you just want like a little bit of bit of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not meat for you.
No. I've been ruined for it.
Yes.
And I've been ruined for dairy now, too. I ate dairy this morning and I was like doubled over in pain. And so I feel like I've been betrayed by my body.
Speaking of meat, I asked you to listen to this podcast. You probably didn't get a chance to. I've been listening to Freakonomics.
I've heard a few episodes, but I didn't listen to the meat episode.
Okay, so they just put out a meat episode and I learned something that I didn't know. Do you know that there's this meatless burger called the Impossible Burger?
Where is it?
So there are select restaurants across the United States selling this burger, but this meat episode of the Freakonomics podcast interviewed the food scientist who was in charge of this whole process.
Yeah.
And so they're just out with, they came out with version one, which was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And now they're out with version two. It is supposed to be spectacular.
Is this the burger that infuses it with beet juice so it looks like it's bleeding?
So what they did is yes, it looks like it's bleeding.
That's so crazy.
It's a derivative of a soy product that they figured out how to make it look red and also for it to bleed juices like a regular burger would bleed juices.
I have to say that there have been now two different kinds of vegan burgers I've tried,
yes,
and they are unbelievable.
Yeah.
One is Beyond Meat,
You can buy it in the grocery store?
Yeah, I actually got it when I went grocery shopping just the other day.
Yeah.
And then the other one is this, restaurant in the East Village here called Superiority Burger. And they do everything on their menu is vegetarian, and then you can make everything vegan. And they have like slider sized burgers, and they are unbelievably good.
So I bet what you were eating at Superiority Burger is the Impossible Burger recipe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to go out and get my hands on this meatless meat.
Next time when we have like an editorial meeting, Kathleen, we will go to Superiority Burger and we'll film it and have your live reaction so that listeners can see how you feel. Because you love meat.
I do. I'm a meat lover.
Yeah.
I love to dig my teeth into the piece of bovine.
Yeah. But you know, them bovines is ruining the earth.
Thanks.
I mean,
thanks for that.
Greenhouse gases from all their poo noises. And
thanks for that.
You're welcome. Kathleen.
Yeah.
We famously record in Kitchen Studio NYC.
Yes, we do.
So if you turn around and look at your 6 o'clock, you see my sink. What is floating in my sink?
Is that your third love bra?
That's my third love bra. I am gently washing it.
Good
because
girl.
I need to take good care of it because it's my very favorite bra.
Well, mine are on my boobies right now.
Yeah, they are.
As they are every day.
Third Love is a great new bra that you are going to love for so many different reasons. One of the reasons is that they have this great fit finder quiz. You go on their website, you just answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. And the reason that they're different is that they don't create new sizes just by scaling existing measurements up or down. They fit each cup size on at least 20 different women with different body types and breast shapes to make sure the new styles are comfortable and beautiful at, let's say, a I cup as they are at an A cup. And by the way, the larger Third Love bras don't cost any more money. All of their bras cost the same no matter what the size.
And every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need.
That's great.
I love that.
We love that.
You know, I'm going on vacation with some girlfriends next month.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I need to buy myself more Third Love bras because I'm going to be embarrassed when I wear the same one every day in front of them.
I know. Now it feels like a punishment anytime I have to wear another kind of bra.
It's torture.
Yeah. And so I'm with you. I'm going to be going on and ordering more.
Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our Acquired Taste listeners 15% off of your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/taste to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/taste, T-A-S-T-E, for 15% off.
So Kathleen, I was going through Twitter. I'm not on Twitter as much anymore because I think I'm following a lot of people that make me angry. And so it tends to bring me down.
Mm.
But I found this awesome account from this guy named Ryan Stephens or Steffens. He's just at Ryan Steffens.
Oh, original.
Yeah, I know. At the beginning of the month. And he did a series of tweets of how to have a good marriage.
Ooh.
By focusing on being a teammate.
Interesting.
Which I thought, well, yeah. And so, you know, I'm newly in this relationship and I have, the reason I'm in a new one is because all the previous ones failed. So I'm trying to not screw this one up. But I think that people who are like in relationships or people who are not and want to like be in a good one.
I'm sorry.
Can like learn these lessons.
I'm sorry.
Why did that hit you so funny?
Because imagine you were like, well, I'm in a new relationship because all the previous ones, they died. Mysteriously.
It's weird. They all mysteriously died.
They disappeared, each and every single one of them.
It's weird. No one ever heard from him again.
No.
I mean, you know, the word murderous is sometimes flipped around too easily. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you know what they say? There is no I in team.
Right.
Every middle school poster in the library.
I mean, I always knew what it meant, but I never really internalized it because I never was in sports. So I was like, I
understand.
There's a me in team because I have to be my own me because sports are hard and I always get chosen last.
You're saying that there is a me in team is like, you know what happens when you assume.
You make an ass out of you and me. The first time I ever said that, I said, you know what you do when you're assuming. You make an ass out of you and Ming.
Ming.
And that's when I realized I'm an idiot. Okay, so Ryan Stephens, 6 rules to follow to be a good teammate in your relationship.
So let's put this into the context of you and Dennis so we can all figure out collectively if you should marry your boyfriend or not.
Or
not your decision, our decision.
Okay. Well, he's had enough taste buds DM him on Instagram and threaten to murder him if he's not good. So it sounds like I think he's already in that headspace. Okay. So number one, no one should ever hear anything bad about your spouse from you. It's one thing to joke with friends about something trivial and quite another to demean your spouse's character. Know the difference and always discuss the latter with your spouse and no one else.
I 100% agree with this. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between, like my husband is the absolute effing worst.
Which is awful to say.
Like he gets home from work and doesn't even kiss me a hello. Like there's a difference between that and reaching out to a friend and being like, hey, I need your genuine advice on something that I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah.
There's a line between demeaning just for the sake of demeaning.
Yes.
And like genuinely needing somebody else's opinion.
Yes. I know people who say the worst things about their partners.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I was so reticent to get into a relationship was because I didn't ever want to be talked about mm-hmm. the way that these people talked about their wives.
Yeah.
And I just was around enough of those people that I assumed that all guys did that.
No.
And that's one thing that the men in my life have said, like, oh no, we would never say that stuff.
No, about, hell no.
Yeah, so
I mean, and I'm obsessed with my husband.
Yeah, like, as am I. He's so great, Kathleen.
You can have him when the aliens get me.
That's fine.
He's all yours, but I 100% agree with this.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Number two, over-communicate. You cannot read each other's minds. Never assume the other person knows what you meant. Give each other the benefit of the doubt when miscommunications happen. Double check if necessary.
Yeah.
This is the one that made all of my past relationships fail because I never felt like I could say how I felt. And so I just internalized it. And like my maternal instinct, mm-hmm. I beat it down. I pushed it down. I squelched it down and pressed it down.
Like the grapes at the bottom of the winemaking barrel.
Exactly. Yep. Pushed them down.
They got squished and fermented and turned to vinegar.
And then they rotted and then they came out sideways in the form of shower crying.
Mm.
And so now Dennis and I are definitely super over communicating. And every single time we have thought the other person was thinking something completely different. Like it's been a good thing we've been over communicating.
Yeah. You know, Neil and I will often use text message mm-hmm. as our primary form of communication.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how some couples are like, we don't talk to each other all day. Neil and I talk to each other so much all day. It's nauseating.
Yeah.
But that's just the way that we make our forms of communication work.
Yeah. I think it's really important. And I've just learned that the hard way so many times. I think in every relationship, even if it's like a sibling or a parent relationship, you cannot assume what the other person knows because you're almost always wrong.
And a really effective way to get your point across to somebody is, hey, that really hurt my feelings mm-hmm. when you did XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, I was really touched when you did XYZ.
Yeah.
And if you just kind of say it in like a mid-level tone, you don't get really angry or, you know, upset about it, I think it works.
Yeah, I think so too. Another thing that I have friends who do this is they say, look, there's some things I need to discuss with you and I need you to sit with me and not get distracted.
Yes.
Like I need you to just be open to hearing what I am saying because, you know, their partners are really distractible or they get really defensive really easily.
Yep.
And to put them in the headspace of, I need you to be open and listen to me. Sometimes that helps a lot too.
I know somebody who doesn't express emotions until they're absolutely blackout drunk.
That's awful.
And his relationships have not been working out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because guess what? If I was that person's girlfriend, I would make him write down all of the things that he's feeling when he's drunk so that I can then present them as evidence the next day.
Yeah.
But I feel like anytime you need to present evidence, the relationship probably isn't going well.
I don't know.
All right. How are you and Neil with this one? Number three, try new things together.
Oh, yes.
You're good?
Yes.
Even this is part of the tweet. Even if one of you is typically more adventurous than the other, have fun with it. Trying new things gets an individual out of their comfort zone and is often easier as a couple, allowing you both to grow stronger together.
Yeah. So when Neil and I go out to dinner,
yeah,
we often brainstorm like where our next vacation is going to be or like what kind of weekend trip we're going to do or what kind of food we're going to taste and that type of thing.
Like who your third is going to be in the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Like, which is you.
Thank you.
You and Dennis have not been away together yet.
No.
Have you been talking about it, thinking about it? Or are you both too busy?
No. Well, we're both super busy. We're both also being very frugal. But now that I've discovered I have miles, I'm sort of like, oh, let's like go somewhere. We actually discussed going to that tiny cabin that you went to with your friends.
No, the Insta cabin.
So, or the big cabin.
I sent you a link to this tiny little tiny house cabin.
Yes, we were talking about that one.
Yeah, my friend Jen, she runs the account Hoboken Girl on Instagram. She went there and I texted her. She said she had a really cool time, that it was really fun.
Okay.
You 100% should go to the Catskills.
So we were talking about that. We both decided that would be a really good idea because we were both in a place where communication was being stressful. I know a lot of people listening, their phones never stop pinging because of work or the emails and everything. But then we also started, you know, watching a lot of true crime together as a couple. And we realized that the Catskills equals woods.
Yes.
Which equals fun. Inevitable murder.
Fun.
So
some say murder. I say fun.
Saturday night when he stayed over, we both heard a noise from the kitchen and I'll be damned if we didn't both have knives in our hands because you know I hide knives in every room of my house. We were sneaking from bedroom into Kitchen Studio NYC because we heard a noise and we were like in Scooby-Doo where we're like, dun, 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 knives ready.
Did you kill Casper?
We didn't. It was the dishwasher. I'd forgotten I had turned the dishwasher on. But like, can you imagine two of us out in nature?
I think you should do it. I would watch it. It should be a sitcom. Have you and Dennis experienced anything new together since you started dating? If it's a sexual position that you cannot talk about, that's cool. Just say our safe word and move on.
No, it's not. It's not a sexual. I tried to steal an elevator over the weekend, which was new for both of us.
Cool.
But in terms of like experiences, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we need to do that.
Yeah. You two need to make a list.
Yeah. We need to do that.
Threesomes.
Mm-hmm. And you are the third.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not available, Neil is the third.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're both available, you're both the third.
Foursomes is next on the list.
Love it. Okay. Number five. Number four. Be each other's champion. Celebrate wins and encourage each other.
Absolutely.
Huge.
I've always said that if you can't grow with the other person that you're with, if they don't let you be different versions of yourself and you don't let them be different versions of themselves, you're not each other's champions if you can't do that.
You have to. This person, his name, again, Ryan Stevens. He's at Ryan Stevens on Twitter. He says, never cut the other person down when they're struggling.
Nope.
Which feels like it should go without saying, but some couples are so mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I cry all the time, so I just couldn't handle it. Number five, be grateful for each other's contributions. Whether it's money, time, chores, childcare, anything else, no one contribution is greater than another. And don't keep score. If you truly value each other's input, then the scorecard shouldn't and doesn't matter.
That is something that Neil and I struggle with, the scorecard.
Really?
Well, you did that and I did that. And you always say this. When you say, you always say, that's part of the scorecard, you know?
Oh, yeah. It shows that you've been listening and tallying.
And you always react this way. Yes. That's 100% part of the scorecard.
Oh, that feels awful.
But what I like to do is, and I appreciate it when he also says it to me, hey, thanks for taking the garbage out. Or can you take out the recycling? I really, really, really appreciate it. My shoes aren't on right now.
It's amazing. Being caught doing something good is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the last one, trust and respect each other, especially in front of other people, including your children. If you don't respect your spouse in front of other people, why should those people respect your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends it with marriage or any long-term relationship is not all about love and romance. It's about working at it day in and day out. It's about choosing your partner every day. And I loved that.
A few years ago, NBC had this really good show, Parenthood.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Nope.
And it was many generations, multiple siblings with their families. That was the premise of the show. But, the matriarch and the patriarch of the family, grandma and grandpa, grandma was feeling like she wasn't getting the recognition and nobody really appreciated everything that she did, particularly from grandpa.
Okay.
So they started going to therapy and grandpa learned this technique at therapy and would say it to grandma, I hear you and I see you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't really have much to add to something after someone is like, I'm this and that and blah, 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 and I'm feeling this way, just look at them. Look at them in the eye and say, I hear you and I see you.
As long as you're being honest and not just saying it to like say it.
Like,
it's true.
Yeah. Neil and I, we say it to each other now like it's like a secret F you.
Yeah. It's like, I hear you and I see you, bitch.
Yeah. And then you walk away. I have a few things to add to that list.
You made your own list?
Yeah. Just very quickly.
Yes.
You must be able to fart in front of each other.
Can't do that. Nope.
You must take turns being the boss.
In sex or just in life?
Both.
Okay. I like.
Mostly in sex.
Okay.
You got to keep them on their toes.
Yeah. Steal their wallet.
Steal their wallet. Indeed.
Yes.
Or like give them a little boob action. Mm-hmm. Like you're walking by and the other person's on the couch and you're like, hey, here's a breast. Poop. Lift your shirt up.
Yep. They love that.
Don't take everything so seriously.
That one's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And don't quit after one bad night.
What does that mean?
So before Neil and I were married, every time we had a fight, I was like, well, F you. I'm going to go find somebody different. I'm breaking up with you. Like,
awful, Kathleen.
I must have broken up with him like 107 times.
Yeah, and I'm sure you stopped believing it.
And the last time I did it, he looked me in the eye and he said, you will not ever break up with me again, because if you do, I'm not coming back.
Oh.
And I never did it again.
Were you so turned on in that moment?
Not so much.
Okay, just angry.
Scared.
Oh, okay.
Mad at myself.
Yeah.
And it was a learning.
That's a good
experience.
One. I also have a few rules that I wrote.
Okay.
Number one, establish a culture of checking in with your partner.
Yes.
If it's a new relationship, make it normal that you're always checking in.
Like Foursquare.
Yeah. Yes. Always. Yes. I am here and I'm feeling this way. Number two, treat your partner like your buddy, but a buddy who you also get to make out with and have sex with. Like, have fun with them.
So treat your partner like your buddy. Like, when I hear you say the word buddy, it makes me think of your cats, because when you when you baby talk your cats, you're like, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. But like, I have fun with them, but I don't have sex with them. So you should never have sex with your cats.
Do you say, hey, buddy, to Dennis, and then do you mount him?
And then I mount him. I think it's more just like, you know, you have friends. You have fun with your friends.
I would sign up for that newsletter.
Yeah, you have fun with like your fun with your partner, too. But then you also get to make out with them. Number three, discover what they're good at and then watch them do that thing. There is nothing hotter than watching your partner do something really well.
What's the thing that Dennis does really well?
Watching him direct or watching him perform in his band. I was watching him editing photos, but just like seeing something that he does so well with confidence, something really attractive about that. Or like other people I've dated, you know, if they were an office worker, but they told me about like this procedure they had to do and they talked about it like they knew exactly what it was. Just seeing a side of them that you don't get to see every day is really attractive.
When they put their expert cap on.
Yes.
And you're like, where did you get that hat?
Yes.
Saks Fifth Avenue.
I love that hat.
I love that hat.
You're like, that's the hat that I know. And I'm like, wear that hat in bed. Number four, be kind to them.
Yeah.
Please and thank you doesn't just win when you're a kid. It's huge.
Kindness goes long, long distances.
Yeah.
Marathon distances.
Yeah. And then lastly, find a way to laugh with them really hard. Like when you steal their wallet and then they find out and then you cackle and cackle and cackle.
You're like, ha ha ha. Here's your wallet back, but your money's gone.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I printed out this little quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Happy birthday, Ruth.
Happy birthday.
It was her birthday over the weekend. She writes, the key to marriage and sometimes serving on the Supreme Court is to use earplugs when necessary. In an essay for Marlo Thomas's collection, The Right Words at the Right Time, Ginsburg relates the story of how her mother-in-law gave her a set of wax earplugs before her wedding ceremony, saying, in every good marriage, it pays to be a little deaf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that's, I don't know. I found it really helpful and interesting. I'm trying not to F this one up. And if you have any relationship advice that you think has helped you out, we would love to hear it. Tweet us at Acquired Podcast.
Well, I already have my bridesmaid's dress picked out, so I hope you don't F this one up.
It's going to be a while.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
Ask me what my favorite app is on my phone.
Kathleen, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite app on your phone?
Audible.
You do have this app running constantly.
I'm like a walking billboard for Audible. I'm like, hey, can I tell you what I've been listening to on Audible lately?
But you know, I was talking over the weekend with Dennis and we were saying nothing has really changed. People want to be told stories, whether it's around the campfire or it's on the radio when we all used to gather around in the 60s, you know, when we were all kids in the 60s yeah. listening to the radio. And now it's podcasts and audiobooks.
Yes. With Audible, you get access to an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivational books, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more.
Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. Kathleen probably has all of them on her app right now.
I do.
And now with Audible Originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made for members.
So Audible members, when you subscribe, and I subscribe.
Yes.
It's my most valued subscription. You get three titles every month. You get one audiobook and two Audible Originals that you can't hear anywhere else.
One book that is on Audible that I highly recommend is a book called Brave Not Perfect. It's by a woman named Reshma Saujani. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it talks about how when we raise little girls, we teach them to be nice and sweet and quiet, and little boys get to be dirty and rough and play around, and we learn to be perfect, and that makes us afraid to try anything new. And so she, actually, Kathleen, is the woman who started the organization Girls Who Code.
Oh,
and
I love Girls Who Code.
Yeah, and it talks about don't be afraid to not be perfect. Be brave. That's the big important thing. Try things even if you know you're going to fail. It's not going to kill you.
Well, now I know what I'm downloading on my Audible app for next month.
Yep, Brave Not Perfect, and she reads it, Reshma Saujani.
Audible members also get access to exclusive fitness audio programs, and people don't really know that, so spring is right around the corner. Start your spring off on the right foot.
Hell yeah. Audible, the most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories, the best place to listen. Get started with a 30-day trial when you go to audible.com/taste or text the word taste to the number 500-500 and listen for a change. Again, get a 30-day trial to Audible when you visit audible.com/taste, audible.com/taste, or text the word taste to the number 500-500 and listen for a change.
Now I just wish I was listening to my Audible app instead of podcasting here with you.
What the hell, dude?
So today is hashtag National Forgive Mom and Dad Day.
Yay! I bet parents are thrilled. Thrilled with this.
Who came up with this?
I mean,
who comes up with any of these national holidays?
Anyone who has an axe to grind or feels like lemon meringue pie doesn't get enough love.
Mm.
Oh, I love a meringue.
I like the top when it's been touched with fire.
Yeah, a little burned, like Khaleesi. Like it made it through fire and now it's freaking epic.
So I personally have a lot of things to forgive my parents for.
You have a list in front of you. I feel like this list is etched in your heart.
It is etched in my heart. I'm scarred for life.
Tell me what you want to forgive your parents for.
One, my mom for not telling me I had armpit hair. Do you know how I had to find out I had armpit hair?
How?
I was hanging off the slide
yeah.
in my pool.
Yeah.
Dangling from it.
Yeah, dangling.
And the neighborhood boy was like, hey, you got hair under your armpits.
And you were like, I didn't know that that was a bad thing.
I didn't know that that was a thing at all.
Didn't you ever look under your armpits?
No, I was 9. I hit puberty so early. I'm so mad at my mom.
That's okay. I bet she appreciates you for giving
her. So mad at her.
Okay, what else do you
want? Why didn't my mother lift up my arm every single day and be like, you are a little bit overweight. You've been wearing a training bra since before your friends were even alive. I'm going to check your underarms for armpit hair.
I think if your mom had said, hey, honey, you're a little overweight, et cetera, you'd be forgiving her for other things today and not just the underarms.
She should have been checking every day that summer.
Maybe she knew that it was just, you know, it was societal norms that were telling you you had to shave it and she didn't believe you needed to worry about those societal norms. Maybe your mom was progressive.
No.
Okay. Number two.
I have to forgive my dad.
Okay.
For this cruel and unusual punishment that he would put my brother and I through in the summer.
Uh-oh.
If we were bad.
Uh-huh.
Or if he didn't think we were being productive enough.
Uh-huh.
Which kids generally tend not to be at all in the summer.
No, it's summer. What the hell?
He would make us water our lawn by hand despite having a sprinkling system.
Wait, with a hose?
With a hose.
I was picturing cups of water.
No. So I would go outside. He would wake us up before he went to work. So he would nudge us at like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because you want to get started before it's too hot outside.
Correct. You do. Otherwise, it'll burn the grass.
Burn the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would give us each a hose. A, we lived on a corner property, more grass than normal.
Oh, excuse you, corner property.
B, we would be out there all day just waving our arms in a horizontal fan movement. while our friends rode by on their bikes making fun of us. I mean, for hours and hours and hours.
How long did it take you to do that lawn? What the hell?
A long time. There's a lot of bushes, too.
Oh, man, you had to do the bushes? Did you have to do the trees?
My father loved the grass more than he loved us.
Yeah, did he cut it with a hand scissor? You know, yes, there are those people.
Yes, he did. Yes, my dad was definitely the one, like, out there trimming each freaking blade by hand. Yeah. And then he would get home from work and measure how deep the water seeped down.
No, he didn't.
The skin would be peeling off my hands before I was allowed back inside the house.
That seems unrealistic.
Unrealistic.
You don't sound like you're ready to forgive
him.
I'm
not ready to forgive my
dad. Cut that one off the list. Cross it off. Number three.
I'm also mad at my dad / ready to forgive him, I think. For packing up all of the stuff in my bedroom, putting it in garbage bags, and putting it outside in the yard.
No, wait, when did he do that?
I was in fifth grade.
That's awful.
And that included my prized possession stuffed teddy bear backpack.
Wait, did you rescue it in time?
Yeah, he eventually gave me all my stuff back. But he really had me believing that it was garbage day and I was going out.
Oh,
it's because I wouldn't clean my room.
Well, Kathleen, you have to clean your room.
Did you ever have that problem as a kid? You strike me as somebody who didn't.
No, I loved a clean room.
Did you ever have one of those stuffed animal backpacks?
No, because we were poor and I wanted one.
Mine was Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, you bitch. I wanted one so bad. I knew they were so, so cute. Mm. I also wanted a kid sister doll. You know, they had My Buddy and Kid Sister.
No.
Oh, that's I'm a little older than you. This was before your time, probably. They had these quote unquote life-size dolls.
Yes.
And they were My Buddy for the boys and Kid Sister for the girls. And you just, I don't know, the kids on the commercial seemed to be having so much fun. My Buddy, you know the My Buddy song?
My Buddy.
My body and me. You know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt that way about Puppy Surprise. Like, giving birth was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. And you reached in and pulled the puppy out and you didn't know how many puppies you got.
Turns out it hurts a lot when you give birth.
Imagine if you bought one and you only got one puppy. Because some of them had like six.
I know. My neighbor, Pamela, she had like eight puppy surprises.
Oh.
There's a lot in there.
Jeez. Was there a runt?
I don't remember. Some of them were really little. That's right. I never had Puppy Surprise.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Rich kids.
And I'm forgiving my mother. God, I'm still mad about this.
You have a lot of anger in that tiny body. Too much anger for tiny body.
Before my fourth grade roller skating social, I had on the coolest outfit.
Tell me.
Overalls, long pant overalls.
Uh-huh.
With a short sleeve crop top underneath.
Hot.
I thought I was hot shit.
Was one of the overall straps undone so it hung?
No, I wasn't okay. TLC.
Okay, I don't know.
I was 10. My mother made me take off my crop top underneath my overalls before I went to the social. Bullshit.
Wait, so you weren't wearing any shirt under your
bullshit.
Crop?
No, a regular shirt. Just a regular shirt that came down to the waist.
Oh, that's stupid.
I wanted sex appeal.
How are you supposed to express yourself in fourth grade if you can't have sex appeal?
I don't know. Anyway.
What was the shirt you replaced it with?
I don't even remember.
Come on.
Probably like flowers or some stupid limited tube crap.
Yeah, there's no sex appeal in that.
I went on to win the race for the girls at the social, the rollerblading race.
Ooh.
Which maybe I wouldn't have done if I were wearing a crop top.
Yeah, because you would have been worried about your boobies popping out.
Is there anything that you have to forgive your parents for?
Yes. First of all, when I was young, in like the single digit ages, I was diagnosed as being allergic to dust. Which is like everything.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so there's dust everywhere.
As such, the doctor said this girl can no longer have carpet in her bedroom. So my parents had to put in sticky linoleum for my little kid bedroom.
Yeah.
So I wish that instead my parents had found another solution, but I forgive my parents for putting linoleum in my bedroom.
You know, now they make linoleum that looks like real wood.
See, that doesn't exist back in the day when I was a little kid.
It was like retro prints.
Yeah, it was white and it had each tile had a blue circle with like little pink flowers around it. I remember picking it out with my dad at Menards, but like, you know, it's linoleum for like a little kid bedroom. Yeah. Not okay. Speaking of bedroom, I forgive my parents for when they put up my balloon wallpaper in my bedroom, putting up one entire panel upside down. So the balloons looked like you were holding them by the string. Like that.
Stop. No, they didn't. And they didn't bother to fix it.
They noticed it last minute were able to pull it off and read. But man, that would have scarred me for life. My OCD would have been non-freaking stop. It was like balloons, balloons, dead balloons being held by your string. And then lastly, I would like to forgive my parents for not naming me something awesome like Thursday or like Genevieve
or Clementine.
Clementine or like Lupita Nyong'o, like an awesome name like that. I like Bethany is fine. Bethany is good. Thank you.
So I went on Facebook and asked some of our taste buds what they need to get off their chest, what they need to forgive mom and dad for.
Yeah.
Hannah says, instead of being sent to the corner, I was sent to the fridge. On top of it, they would pick me up and put me on top of the fridge. And there are family photos buried somewhere of me throwing tantrums from on top of the fridge.
I hope she was 16.
Fred DeMailman said that
hi Fred, that
your mom and dad went on diets. Mom wore a lot of leotards and dad wore a lot of sponge headbands. We ate mostly turkey products, turkey bacon, turkey sausage, turkey ground beef, turkey everything. It was disgusting.
Why are turkeys considered better than everything else in terms of meat?
They're leaner.
Which is funny because we also get the biggest ones possible for Thanksgiving.
I would like to go to Fred's house. I like turkey products.
Yeah, I like Fred.
Rachel said, my parents told us as kids that the bread that came out before your meal at restaurants was only for adults.
Brilliant.
It turns out they just didn't want to share their Cheddar Bay biscuits at Red Lobster.
Oh, that reminds me of one. I also need to forgive my dad for telling me that 7-Up was just water that had been left in the fridge for long enough.
Wait?
Yeah, he said that 7-Up was bad water. And so I put a cup of water in the fridge for like 2 weeks and it's kept not turning into 7-Up and I was so disappointed. 7-Up was ruined for me.
I heard this thing on the radio over the weekend that if you go to a restaurant and order ginger ale and they don't have it, they give you Sprite with just a splash of Coke in it.
Shut up. Those jerks. What if I have a stomach ache?
Is that not the craziest thing?
That's messed up.
Carly said, I have to forgive my parents for dressing me and my sister like twins in the most 90s Oshkosh outfits.
Oshkosh bagosh?
Oshkosh bagosh. We're 3 years apart.
My mom did that too. All three of us were dressed the same.
And last but not least, Alyssa said, when I was 3 years old, we lived in an apartment complex in Missouri that had a very large lake. One warm day, they decided to take me down to the water to feed the ducks some bread. My dad was holding me, but I wanted to go down to be even closer to the ducks. With the bread in my hands, I was attacked by a swarm of ducks, and I had red marks all over me from their little beaks, and my mother videotaped the whole thing. To this day, she's still afraid of ducks.
Yeah, when parents are like, eh, you're going to be fine, and they keep the camera rolling.
You're not
going to
be fine.
Parent.
You're not going to be fine.
Hey, you'll be fine. Oh, we also want to hear what you forgive your parents for. Tweet us at Acquired Podcast.
So my friend's little sister got engaged over the weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
And before I even said congratulations, I told her about Zola.
Oh, she's going to need it. It's going to save her life.
I was like, girlfriend, go to Zola.com right now.
Yeah, Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and your registry. It's everything you need to get your wedding started in one place. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with a free wedding website, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools. And you manage it all online in one place.
It's so easy and it only takes just a few minutes to set up. I think of those late nights I coded out my own wedding website.
Yeah, you one and zeroed your own website.
With Zola, they have 100 beautiful wedding website templates that you get to choose from and they fit any couple style and any type of wedding.
Then you build your dream registry at Zola. The Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. There's something for every guest to give. So if they want to give like one wine glass or they want to give an entire vacation, they can do it. Over 500 top brands from OXO and Cuisinart to Sonos and Airbnb. And you can put your Zola registry on your wedding website so guests can get all the details they need and buy your wedding gift in one convenient and beautiful place.
Want to register at Home Depot? Check.
Yeah.
You want to register for plane tickets?
Yes.
Check. One of the best parts about Zola is the completion discount. That means that after your big day, after everybody has purchased you gifts, you can purchase the rest of your registry for 20% off.
That's awesome. I don't know how they got that to happen.
My wish for you,
everybody
listening to this, is that you have a complete set of plates because I haven't done that yet and it's been 7 years.
Maybe you need to divorce Neil, remarry Neil, and do like a Zola website.
I would get another husband just to use Zola.
We can find a workaround.
You're going to get married and you're going to use Zola, Bethany.
To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/taste. That's Z as in zebra, OLA.com/taste. Again, to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/taste.
Take the stress out of weddings. Mm-hmm. Zola is there for you.
So, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You know that one thing I constantly struggle with is food in my house. There isn't any.
You just can't do this basic thing that most adults can do. But you know what? You don't have to.
It's hard. It's hard for so many reasons. Instacart is making grocery shopping so much easier for me. I get to go on their website. They also have an app, but I use the website.
I use the app when I order.
And I go to my local grocery store. They also have national chains that they work with, but there's one right by my house that they also work with. So it's a little more local. Mm-hmm. I go on the website. I click all the things I need. And then you get your own personal shopper. Mine was a dude and he was awesome. He goes, he gets all my groceries and then brought them to my house. He was super nice. It was easy. While he was grocery shopping for me, I was working.
Yeah. So I was thinking about orange juice the other day. And I was like, damn, I want orange juice. But also, I'm lazy.
Yes, exactly.
So I knew I was going to go out drinking with my friends that night. So I opened up my Instacart app and filled my cart with lots of carbs and orange juice and set it to be delivered the following morning. So I knew that when I woke up with a hangover, because it's inevitable,
right. My
groceries were going to be right there at my doorstep for me. And the best part is now is when I'm using my Instacart app, so I chose one specific type of orange juice and the Instacart app let me know right away that this kind has the tendency to not be restocked that often, and they let me choose a replacement right there on the spot.
Just in case. Yeah, that way they don't have to bother you. They're like, oh, okay, I know that if this isn't there, Kathleen has already given me permission to get this other kind.
Yes.
There are so many things you can get done while your groceries are being purchased for you. And the great thing about Instacart too, groceries are delivered in as little as an hour or at a time that works with your schedule, like the next morning when you're hungover. They keep the hot groceries hot, the cold groceries cold, and the middle groceries right there in the middle, which is great. They also have exclusive coupons, so you can save money with coupons on pantry staples, and no sitting in traffic, no looking for parking, no waiting in the checkout line. So we want you to try Instacart the way we've been using Instacart. Try Instacart and get $10 off your first order. To get this limited time offer, go to instacart.com, which is what I do, or download the mobile app, which is what I do, and enter our promo code TASTE at checkout. Again, to get $10 off your first order today at instacart.com or through the mobile app, don't forget to enter the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, instacart.com or through the mobile app with our code TASTE at checkout.
Something recently blew my mind.
Okay.
Bethany and I are both fans of WNYC, which is our New York NPR affiliate.
It's our local New York public radio station. I just burped. Excuse me. Okay, you should be proud of me because I was going to say we should re-record that.
Yeah.
So I don't sound like I was going to burp, but I'm not.
You're going to let us leave it in?
Because I am a human and I have flaws and it is not embarrassing to have burps.
It's okay to be vulnerable.
I am being vulnerable.
So a couple times a year, WNYC, because they're public funded radio, they do these...
Pledge drives?
Yes, they do pledge drives.
I love a pledge drive.
Think of that. Damn word.
Pledge drive.
And during the pledge drive, someone was like, hey, where else are you going to learn about grapes sparking in the microwave? And
what?
I hit the brake.
And the car behind you crashed and you were like, say what?
Sorry, I'm listening to the radio about grapes. Come again? Grapes spark in the microwave?
I didn't know they did.
So I went home, opened up my Googles, and I was like, a tap, 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 tap.
Yeah.
Why do grapes spark in the microwave?
Dear Google. Why do grapes spark in the microwave?
Apparently, this is a thing that a lot of people know because there are a lot of YouTube videos on this.
Okay, wait. Can I watch one?
I mean, I was reading about it on Cosmopolitan magazine.
The source of all science news.
Yes.
Grapes making fireballs.
If there are kids in the room with you right now, like, I'm going to do a PSA. Don't try this at home.
Whoa.
So many sparks. So many sparks. You can see all these little grapes in the microwave and they're just causing fireballs between them. Let me tell you. Canadian researchers have solved the mystery once and for all.
In the most polite way, because they're in Canada.
This mystery that we didn't even know existed, but everybody else did, apparently.
Apparently.
You can make grapes spark in the microwave by cutting them in half, but the trick is that you have to leave just a little bit of skin intact on one side, so a little bit of a membrane.
Gotcha. So like a Pac-Man shape.
Like a Pac-Man shape, okay. Exactly. You pop it in the microwave, and after several seconds, radiation ignites a hot spot in the grapes.
Why?
Okay, here's the weird and cool part. You make plasma. It's not like the plasma that's in your blood, right? Is that what you think of when you hear the word plasma?
I think of like a plasma core in Star Trek, and it's always getting messed up.
You are such a nerd.
I don't know. It's plasma, man.
Okay, in this instance, we're talking about plasma as one of the four fundamental states of matter.
Plasma?
Yes. Don't ask me what the other three are.
Water. Liquid. Nope. Water, solid, gas.
Gas.
Plasma. Plasma gun. Water gun. Air gun. What was the other one? Ice gun.
Next time I'm going to a party, I'm going to bring grapes and use this as my party trick to make more friends.
People love a food-related party trick.
As long as the party's not here at your house because you do not have a microwave.
Famously microwaveless. I don't have the space. I don't have a toaster either.
Please, if you try this at home, use caution before attempting this experiment. Do some reading up on it on the internets.
Yeah, wear some goggles. Protect your eyes.
Don't leave the microwave on for too long. Make sure the area is well ventilated.
Sure.
And remember that these grapes are going to be hot after.
Hot. So the microwaves turn the core of the grapes into a plasma?
Yes. So Canadian researchers discovered that it's not the skin connector that's actually super important, because there's a lot of tutorials on YouTube that's like, you must leave a little bit of membrane skin connecting the grapes.
I hate the word membrane.
It's actually the distance that the grapes are from one another. So the grape halves. The plasma, the spark that we're seeing, is created by an amplification of the electromagnetic field between the grapes.
That's crazy. I don't know what that means.
This is caused by the interaction of trapped microwaves, like the actual waves,
okay,
between the two grape halves.
So it's like there's this tiny little sliver of space and a microwave gets trapped in there and then like pops out.
Yep, because there's an electromagnetic buildup between the two grape halves, which are made of mostly water.
Uh-huh.
And the microwave intensity is high enough to cause the gap, the air molecules between the two grapes, to ionize.
Okay, ionizing is...
results in plasma, and that results in spark.
That's insane. And all of that because WNYC needed some money. My favorite thing that WNYC said while they were raising money was they were giving away like a $200 or $2,000 Whole Foods gift card to someone who donated. And one of the hosts said, "That is a lot of gluten-free chocolate cake." And I was like, yeah, I'm listening to public radio.
Was that Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, it was like one of those.
She loves public radio.
She does. And the ballet.
Anyway, does this make sense?
No, but I really enjoy now that I know it's a thing. Yeah. I don't know why it happens, but I like that I know that it happens.
Will you buy a microwave now?
No, absolutely not. I don't have any Kathleen, I don't have any space.
I cannot believe that this is not an experiment that I knew about.
We don't know what fruit can do.
Mind blown.
Did you know you peel a banana from the bottom, not the top? Easier. Like, that's how monkeys peel it.
What?
Like, not the handle part of the banana where it attaches to everything, but like the butt part, the anus part of the banana. That's where you peel it.
Fruit just blows my mind.
What's a cherry pitter?
It's like this thing that gets the pit out of the cherry.
What does it look like?
It's like a, you know, it's like a little round thing with a handle. I don't know. You buy it at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Is it like a lemon baller? No, melon baller?
It's kind of like a citrus press, but smaller.
What the fuck is a citrus press?
You don't have a citrus press?
No, it's a citrus press.
Are you living your best life?
I don't know what that is.
It's a, you put the lemon or the lime or whatever citrus you have in between the top and the bottom, and you squeeze it together on the handle and all the juice comes out, but not the pulp or the seeds or anything.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I have one. I never used it.
Bethany.
I don't do kitchen. You know what? We have a podcast in my kitchen. That's how much I don't do kitchen.
Are you even a woman until you're drinking lemon water every morning?
I once read this thing where this guy was like, you have to drink lemon water and bounce up and down for 100 seconds every morning to like ignite your metabolism.
Stop.
And I'll be damned if I wasn't like 17 drinking lemon water and bouncing up and down for 100 counts.
Yeah, that's like the lemonade cayenne pepper diet.
It's just what
I did it.
I mean,
tastes like garbage.
Your body, just trust your body.
I never lost any weight.
That's insane. Kathleen, did you learn anything this week, love?
I did, and this is going to sound really weird.
I can't wait. Tell me everything.
I have to shake out my shoulders.
Tell me all of it.
So I have found myself doing this kind of strange thing lately.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to sleep at night, I'm just like,
Okay. Mm. All right.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Or when I'm eating, I'm like, mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or when I'm driving, I'm like, oh, mm. And I'm like,
cat.
Why the hell am I making these noises all the time?
You're like an old man.
I learned it from your cat.
What?
Bethany, every time I'm over your house, your cat Loki, your black cat, is on the arm of your chaise lounge.
My kitchen couch.
Your kitchen couch, looking at us, going, hmm, hmm. And once you said to me, oh, don't worry about him. He's just self-soothing.
Yeah, he's self-soothing.
So I picked up this self-soothing habit from your freaking cat. And you know what? I've never felt better.
It works.
It works. I'm telling you, food is more delicious when you eat it and you're like, mm, 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 mm. Just let yourself groan a little bit when you put that food in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Just say it out loud. You know how people convey delicious foods in movies?
Yeah.
They're like, they put it in their mouth and they just pause and they're like, mmm. Mmm.
Mm, I'm Martha, telling you. Did you make this pot roast all yourself?
Life has been better for me. And it's helping me with my sleep anxiety because I get into bed at night and I just go, oh, ooh, mm. I'm telling you, it sounds nuts.
It sounds crazy.
But I've learned about this mental health technique
from my cat. You know what? Self-soothing, it works.
It really works. Be like Bethany's cat. Just moan and groan whenever you need to.
It really helps. Anytime I've had the flu, you know, before the whatever medication kicks in, the pain relievers yep. kick in, your body aches. And all I can do is just go, oh.
Yeah.
It helps.
It helps. It helps so much.
Oh, I love knowing that this was helpful for you.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Well, aside from learning, check your things if you have points on various things.
Oh, I thought you were saying that directly to me like you had stolen my wallet too.
No, no, but he was checking his wallet the rest of the weekend. It was very entertaining. But I learned from the whole mile situation that there are so many different companies that have all of these other benefit programs that we just don't take advantage of.
Yep.
Like I realized that through my cell phone company, I get subscriptions to things that I have already bought subscriptions for. So I'm like paying money I don't need to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Credit cards sometimes let you have like money double points on these certain companies. Or if you're part of a union, sometimes the union gives you like percentages off on these other experiences. So just make sure that you're taking advantage of all of the different things. Read the brochures that come with, you know, any program you're a part of or a company you sign up with, because it's kind of crazy.
Absolutely.
You'd be saving a lot of money.
I was just telling Bethany before we started this podcast, some credit cards, if you rent a car with that credit card, your insurance is already built in through your credit card, so you don't need to pay extra to get the car insurance.
And I'm the kind of dum-dum that's like, I'm going to buy all the insurance. And it's just the angels from above are looking at me and shaking their fist going, that's money wasted.
And I'm the dum-dum that's like, nah, I don't need insurance. And then I get into a 17 car pileup.
I mean, you know, where everyone lives and it's fine. thank you so much for listening to us. We are so grateful that you joined us this week. Please follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook.com/Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can email us at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a P.O. Box, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
And we have a hotline where you can leave us a voicemail. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Awesome. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
Mm-hmm. I am Radio Bethany on Twitter. I am Ms. Bethany Watson on everything else. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Breathe it out, Loki.
Self-soothe.
And one of the biggest things you can do to help us out is rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. It really, really helps us out. We would really appreciate it. And here are some of your fellow taste buds and what they're thinking about right now.
Hi, ladies. This is Gabby from Miami. Just wanted to let you know I was listening to the episode about dick sand in Publix. I'm there in front of of the family size buy one get one cookies. I am cracking up so hard. I knock over a bunch of cookies. The guy next to me is looking at me like I'm crazy. I just can't stop laughing.
Hey, it's Caitlin at the Central Jersey meetup for Kate Bud. We just wanted to call and say hello and that we love you guys.
Hi, ladies. This is Caitlin from Kingston, New York. I have been a longtime listener since the beginning, but never called in or contacted you before. I got a little behind, so I'm only on podcast 157. Wanted to say, Kathleen, I am absolutely so glad that you enjoyed your trip to the Catskills. I am from the Hudson Valley Catskill region, and we are so super proud of all of our beautiful scenery.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. I have dreamt just moving to New York City just to meet you two. I've been driving for work. I started in Iowa, but now I'm in Florida just listening to you guys on the road.
Okay, ladies, I can't say my name because my dad would kill me if he knew I was telling the secret. So, Bethany, you love Christmas Vacation, and so does my family. We dressed up last year on Christmas Eve. We were all somebody from the movie. I was Margot. My boyfriend was Todd. It was just like a whole event. It was awesome, and I have pictures. If you want pictures, I could send them to you. However, my parents are divorced, and they both dressed up as Aunt Bethany and Uncle Louis, and they were in it. I've never seen either of them act, but they could have probably played this on Broadway. And they were both single at the time, which is actually rare. They've been divorced for like 18 years, and the magic of Christmas Vacation made them actually hook up after. It's something that has scarred our family now again, because they're not together, but Christmas Vacation made them hook up because they were both Aunt Bethany and Uncle Louis. And yeah, it was weird. That's all. I love you guys.